Welcome to A Beggar Who Found Bread. I'm your host, Brad, an impoverished beggar who found bread, the bread of life, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua of Nazareth. My hope is that others will see the value of this bread and let go of everything else to grasp it. This episode, priceless. Credit Incubus for the title to this episode. Out of Calabasas, California in 1991, Incubus has brought their own flavor to rock music. Unlike many other bands that tried various names out before landing on one that wasn't already taken and that sounded cool enough, Incubus went nameless for some time until they were required by a venue to provide a name for a scheduled performance. Incubus, it is. Lead vocalist Brandon Boyd is the son of none other than Chuck Boyd. That's right, also known as the Marlboro Man. Yep, at some point after Tom Selleck, Chuck Boyd took over repping Marlboro cigarettes as the Marlboro Man. Incubus was labeled as a metal band, mostly because they played at Ozfest. But their sound is a little bit lighter than metal. It's pretty straightforward rock and roll, man, in my less than humble opinion. Alas, this podcast is not about the music, the metal, or the Marlboros. It's about the message. Priceless. We are continuing a journey into the rubber meets the road application of what it means to follow the Tzaddik, the righteous one, the master, Yeshua HaMashiach. For this episode, I'd like to explore the motivation for pursuing the great rabbi, Yeshua of Nazareth. And I believe there are a variety of reasons people seek to follow Yeshua. In unpacking this episode and this topic, I hope that we avoid the temptation to judge the motivation of other individuals and simply check ourselves, our motives. Are they pure? Are we self-seeking? Do we crave the approval of others? And so on. And you may say, well, regardless of motivation, isn't the fact that someone seeks to follow Yeshua enough? And some may even confuse the words of the Apostle Paul, how often does that happen, where he said that even if the gospel is preached for selfish gain, at least the gospel is preached. So in its context, Paul was not condoning such behavior. Actually, he was addressing people who were cynically preaching what Paul preached in attempts to discredit him. The motivation of those preaching in such a way was impure and inappropriate. And again, Paul didn't condone it. Those individuals were inadvertently planting seeds of the coming kingdom in Yeshua. That did not secure the salvation of those who were preaching in such a manner, but it had the potential to create actual disciples of Yeshua, even with ulterior motives. Relating to one's motivation for following the Master, we see examples and teachings associated with behaviors which are condemned by Scripture. When we look at people's motivations, it wasn't just at accepting all motivations, hey, whatever's driving you, glad you're here kind of a thing. And Scripture reveals that. And the words of Yeshua himself. Remember the sobering words, not all who say, Master, Master, or Lord, Lord. Did we not prophesy in your name and heal and cast out demons in your name? To which the Master replies, Depart from me, workers of lawlessness, I never knew you. Motivation matters, folks. There were also the sons of Sceva, seven sons of Sceva, who attempted to cast out demons in the name of Yeshua, whom Paul preached. Then there is Simon the Sorcerer, who sought to purchase the ability to lay hands on people, having them filled with the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Tanakh, we see a variety of people and situations, like Balaam and others, seeking the favor of Hashem, trying to attach themselves to his people in one way or another with selfish motivation, and it doesn't work out real well for any of them. Why do I think our motivation is vital? Because we are commanded to forsake all others to follow Yeshua. We are instructed to sell all that we have to obtain the kingdom, to lay down our lives, take up our cross, die to ourselves. There has to be motivation in doing so and laying all these things down to obtain the kingdom of heaven. So does this mean entrance into the kingdom of heaven is transactional, selling all we have to gain the kingdom? And no, clearly not. It is not transactional in the sense of a commercial exchange. Like if someone says, well, I sold my house and gave all the proceeds to the needy, I'm going to heaven now. That's not a picture of what is expected or required of us. The master even discredits this type of motivation. I believe that there is misplaced motivation in those who think it's all about going to heaven. First off, there appears to be a significant disconnect with the whole go-to-heaven mindset. And we've addressed that in some past episodes, and it may be time to circle back and touch on that some more. But what Scripture describes for those being judged righteous at the final judgment is a portion in a literal, physical, coming kingdom to be established at the return of the Messiah. Those resurrected to live new life in Olam Haba, the world to come. That is the picture of what is to come, not floaty, disembodied spirits hanging out in some celestial thing watching angels play harps on clouds. That's not what is depicted in the Scriptures. There is a literal, physical, coming kingdom. Perhaps more on that another time, Lord willing. Our motivation for following Yeshua must be great enough to inspire us to lay down everything. Here are two similar parables told by Yeshua and consecutively as recorded in Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 13, beginning at verse 44, the Master is speaking. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And because of his joy, he goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. Upon finding a pearl of great price, he went out and sold all that he had and bought it. In each of these parables, the individual finds something of such great, priceless value that they sell all they have to gain it. What is it that they gained? The kingdom of heaven. See, Brad, they were motivated to go to heaven, and that's why they gave up everything. Based on my understanding of the kingdom of heaven, I will respectfully disagree with you if that is your interpretation. While I absolutely believe in a literal coming kingdom in the Messianic era, the millennial reign, and then the new heaven and the new earth, physical, real, tangible, I do not believe that is the focus of the Master's teaching here. The word heaven used in the phrase kingdom of heaven is a circumlocution, a euphemism, if you will, as some may call it. So the word heaven is often used as a replacement for the name of God. You'll hear some people will say, oh, for heaven's sakes, and things like that. And they're doing that so as to not say, for God's sake, right? So they use that euphemism, that circumlocution. And even some people will have used the phrase land's end instead of saying even heaven's end or God's end when emphasizing a point. And these are circumlocutions to soften a little bit, if you will. So the word heaven is used as a replacement for using the name of God, the kingdom of God being the intended reference. This was and is done to protect the four-letter sacred name of the Holy One, blessed be He. The name which is not to be written down so that it may never be erased, deleted, or obliterated. So in protecting that sacred name, many people practice not writing that four-letter sacred name down, and according to some, not even to speak it. This is why we have alternatives or circumlocutions for the sacred name, like Hashem, which means the name. It is referring to the sacred name. Even titles such as Adonai, Elohim, Lord and God are used to reflect honor to his sacred name, not saying it and not writing it out to protect it. So then, what is the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, which the subjects of the two parables we read, what is that kingdom and that they had sacrificed everything to obtain? While I believe that eternity and where and with whom we spend it is a thought, it is more of a byproduct, a result of what the Master called his followers to. That's not the primary motivation, though. The primary motivation is responding to the call. I believe the references of the kingdom of God point us to kingdom living in this present world, living what we see life is to be like in the coming kingdom, doing so in the here and now, olam hazeh, this present world. Now, I'm going to clarify here that I do not subscribe to the prosperity preacher's use of that phrase, kingdom living. They have commandeered and bastardized that mindset into a selfish, self-serving, materialistic focus that is contradictory to the whole of Scripture imagined by third soil individuals who are enamored by the cares of this world. When I say kingdom living, I refer to the way we understand we will live in the coming kingdom. So how will we live in the coming kingdom described in Scripture? One familiar description comes from Jeremiah's prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 31. Here, the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Adonai. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will any of them teach his fellow community members or his brother know Adonai, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, because I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And if you really want to blow your mind, if you have never ventured further, please keep reading through the next few chapters as the prophet elaborates on the new covenant and describes the coming kingdom. So we see a people who have the Torah of Hashem written on their hearts. In the coming kingdom, the Torah will be written by Hashem. Sin is remembered no more. The evil inclination is no more in the coming kingdom. And we are commanded in the Shema to have the words which Adonai Elohim has commanded us this day written on our hearts. We are to write them on our hearts that we will live accordingly. In the coming kingdom, Olam Haba, Hashem will write them himself. The writer of the book of Hebrews goes to great lengths to emphasize that the new covenant will come into its fullness in the world to come, Olam Haba. The first covenant is for this present world, Olam Hazeh. Now, Yeshua is the embodiment of the new covenant and of the coming kingdom. He reveals them to us, to this world. And he calls us, he calls to follow him. Follow me, he said. So both the new covenant and the coming kingdom will be fulfilled and completely realized at the culmination of the Messianic era, the coming kingdom, at the return of the Messiah Yeshua. For further clarification, no, I don't hold the doctrine of many that the present-day church is the kingdom already come. I believe we have a foretaste of what is to come, and that we are, with the empowerment of the Helper, a deposit or measure of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, by whom we are enabled to live and reflect the kingdom of God in this present world, though we do not have the fullness of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, yet, nor do we have the fullness of the coming kingdom, though we have seen it in the Master, Yeshua the Messiah. So in a way, this is our dress rehearsal for how we will act and behave in the coming kingdom, to include the continuing celebration and honoring of the Moedim, the appointed times of Hashem, the feast days. We've touched on that before, and I'll save that. More on that another time, Lord willing. But with that description, let us consider, if we think of this as dress rehearsal, preparation for how we are going to be living in the coming kingdom, with that as our description, let us consider how we think, the meditations of our heart, how we speak, the words of our mouth, and how we behave now, here and now. Is it kingdom worthy? How we think, how we speak, how we behave. You ponder that for yourself, and I must examine myself in that light. Are those things in me kingdom worthy? Will they be acceptable in the coming kingdom? And please, when I say dress rehearsal, do not suppose that I mean that this doesn't count or doesn't matter because it's just practice. Go Allen Iverson on me. Practice? We're talking about practice? Practice. Not a game. Practice. All right, enough on that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it doesn't matter and that it doesn't count, because it most certainly does count. How we live in the here and now, in this present world, absolutely matters. What I simply mean by using that phrase, dress rehearsal, is the closer we live to the coming kingdom life now, the more seamless the transition to Olam Haba, the world which is to come. So then, what is the kingdom of God for which we should be willing to lay down everything and everyone else, if not a portion in the coming kingdom? In the simplest terms, it is Yeshua. His thoughts, his words, his actions. The master challenged some of the Pharisees who were asking where and when would be the kingdom of God, as recorded in Luke chapter 17. The Prushim Pharisees asked Yeshua when the kingdom of God would come. The kingdom of God, he answered, does not come with visible signs, nor will people be able to say, look, here it is, or over there, because you see, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God was in their very midst. I believe Yeshua is referring to himself in that. The kingdom of God is among you. Look no further. Paul describes the kingdom of God as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, adding, anyone who serves the Messiah in this fashion both pleases God and wins the approval of other people. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So living righteousness in the eyes of Hashem, having the peace of God which passes all understanding from the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, and possessing true joy in the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is what describes the kingdom of God as it pertains to this present world. We must be willing to give up our very lives and all they include for this priceless gift, or these priceless gifts which we receive when we respond to the Master's call, follow me, when we actually respond to it. Therein lies our motivation. Though, I would say, it can and should be broken down even further. Our motivation should boil down to the greatest commandments revealed by Yeshua, Shema and Ve'ahavta, that we love Adonai Elohim with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might, and that we love our neighbors as ourselves. The basic desire to obey El Elyon, the Most High God, because we love, and yes, because we fear him. He rewards righteousness and he punishes sin. Our motivation should be in response to those greatest commandments as identified by the Master Yeshua. And if you recall, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were told to bow down and worship an idol of Nebuchadnezzar, or be thrown into a blazing furnace. The three refused. They said that they know Hashem is able to save them, but even if not, they would worship no other. There was no self-centeredness in them, in their response. They were not caring for their own lives in this situation. They knew Adonai Elohim, the Most High God, and they knew of his ability to save people from the most distressing of situations. They also know that they were commanded, even as we are, to have no other gods before us and to not worship idols. They laid down their lives out of the love for and fear of Hashem. Their motivation? To honor their God, period. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And because of his joy, he goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. Upon finding a pearl of great value, he went out and sold all that he had and bought it. Do you see enough in Yeshua to sell all that you have? Do you see enough in the Holy One, blessed be He, Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God, to sell all you have, to lay down everything, to follow the Master? Are we willing to sell all we have, to give up everything and anyone, to obtain the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, laying aside our lives to obey our King, to experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, to respond to the Master's call to follow Him and to live according to His example of kingdom living in this present world, living in perfect love, in perfect faith, in perfect obedience to Hashem. Even apart from a promise of a portion in the coming kingdom, are we willing? Is it worth it? Will we sell all? What is our motivation? If it is not strong enough, we will hold back, hedge our bets, just in case. Is your motivation strong enough, or are you holding out like Ananias and Sapphira, saying, you are contributing all you have, but lying to yourself, knowing you're withholding, lying to yourself, lying to those around you, and lying to the Holy Spirit. We must examine ourselves. The motivation must be there that we will sell all, that we will lay down our lives to respond to the Master's call, follow me. My intention is to begin studying the book of Acts again for my own personal study, which I imagine will influence future episodes of this podcast. My brief encapsulation of the book of Acts, and this was my first description of it when I read through that book in its totality, all I could see was commitment and dedication, and I was jealous and hungry because I wanted to live that way. Commitment and dedication. The apostles and disciples were sold out to Yeshua, not to some cause, but to the person, Yeshua of Nazareth, the promised Messiah. I seek to be sold out in such a way. I hope that this has challenged you and blessed you. Please study to show yourselves approved of God. And there is a lost and dying world desperately trying to build a kingdom of their own. May we reveal the kingdom of God to them. Let us go out and give them heaven. And until next time, may the favor the Master Yeshua the Messiah earned in the eyes of Hashem be upon you and all your household. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, reign in your hearts and minds in the Messiah Yeshua. Grace and peace. Chen Shalom.